few Rishonim clarify at least one derech in the sugya more than the Rambam. Rambam is actually exceptionally clear in laying out some of what we were talking about yesterday. Yesterday we had a chance to see what recent is far more often referred to as the machlokas Ramban and Kitzos. As we saw, the Kitzos himself bases himself at least partially on the Nemuka Yosef. So within the Kitzos, it's at least somewhat of machlokas Ramban and Nemuka Yosef. We saw yesterday that it's already what the Kitzos finds in the Nemuka Yosef is already in Rabbeinu Yonah. The Kitzos did not have access to Elias Rabbeinu Yonah directly. He had bits and pieces caught by the Nemuka Yosef, caught by the Shittim Mekubetzes. We began to see yesterday the machlokas between Ramban and the Rabbeinu Yonah / Nemuka Yosef / Kitzos. We saw both Ramban and the Ritva. It's Talmud. It's a machlokas over how to read the Gemara, and it's a machlokas over how to understand the underlying lumdus of Cheska Sabata, meaning what is the content of the Gemara. That, after all, is what the Gemara is grappling with, is where does this all come from, and why is this true, this whole business of Cheska Sabata and Gimel Shanim. So the machlokas, understand the flow of the Gemara, or how the Maskana relates back to previous pieces, and dealing with certain technical questions, also creates a machlokas over what the answer is, what the conclusion is, what the underlying lumdus is. Well, let's take a look. The Rambam lays out one approach exceptionally well, with exceptional clarity, if you look carefully. The very rich Rambam, let's take a look. And you have in the packet, I gave you the beginning of Perek Yud Aleph, which is where of Hilchos Torah V'Nitzan, that's where the Rambam begins to discuss Chezkas Habatim for several Prakim. The entire balance of Hilchos Torah V'Nitzan, from Halacha Perek Yud Aleph till the end, to Perek Tazayim, those are the six prakim in which Rambam deals with the halachas of Cheska Sabata. And he opens, let's see how he opens, and it'll be helpful to also look at things in context. The Rambam, as we've said in the past, was one of his goals in Mishnah Torah was not only to extract the maskanos of the Torah Sheba'al Peh and present the maskanos, but also to present them in a very, very organized fashion. So all Cheskas Habatim, all the issues of Cheskas Karkos, find their home in Prakim Yud Aleph through Tes Zayin of Hilchos Torah V'Nitzan. He discusses a Cheskas Metaltelim in the previous few Prakim. So let's begin Perek Yud Aleph. We'll step back for a moment to Perek Ches for a helpful contrast, and then we'll continue. Kol karkos that you do is l'ba aleihem. Any karka which is known to its owner. Interesting. What does that mean exactly? I know my karka. What does he mean? Kol karkos that you do is l'ba aleihem. Afal pisha hin ato tachas idei achirim. Hamehin b'cheskas b'aleihem. Any karka that's known to be its owner's. That's what he means. Not that the owner knows his karka, but it's yodua. It's known to be his. Even though it's presently in someone else's hands, it is still bechezkas, the original owner. What do we call that in our terminology? Chesas Marakama. It's fascinating that that's how the Rambam starts. He starts the story saying, there's something called Chesas Marakama. And Chesas Marakama, and what did he tell? Not only did he tell us Chesas Marakama exists and it dominates, but he said, at least in his opening line, that he's the muchzak. Number one, this sounds very... very Kundras HaSvekas like, that's number one. And in terms of the question that's been sort of hanging in the air throughout the sugya, can you be a muchzuk on with the tefitzah d'hashtan karka or not? The Rambam at least initially appears to say no. The muchzuk is the marakama. That's how he opens. Of course, there's more to come. There are more cases and more variables to come. But the opening statement is Cheskes Mar Karka, Cheskes Mar Kama. Especially when you contrast that with Parakhes. Take a look at the way he starts Cheskes Metalshim. Begin Parakhes. If you're looking in the packet, you have it right there. Issues of Muchzak really start in Parakhes. Before then, he was talking about Shavuos HaDayanim, in case we have to swear. Here, Parakhes opens, Kalam Metaltalim, Becheskas Ze Shehein Tachas Yado. Metaltalim are Muchzak too, the one who has Tfisa. Afal Pi Shehevi HaToveya Edim, Shah Metaltalim Elu Yuduin Lo. Even though the one who's suing, Shimon is holding on to property. Even better, let's be consistent. Reuven is holding on to property. Reuven has a laptop. Reuven has a suitcase. Reuven has a jacket. And Shimon comes and says, yeah, but I have Edom that it's Yodua, the same terminology. Shimon says, yeah, but I have Edom that it's Yodua li. Doesn't help. It's Becheskas Reuven. Ketan, Raman says, let's give a case. Beged zeh, o kli zeh shebiyadcha, o shebesoch beisecham. That scarf that you're holding, that bike that you have, the bike that's parked in your garage, shelihu, it's really mine. Ani, why is it in your house? Well, maybe ani evkadati v'etzlecha. I asked you to be a shomer. O yishalti ulecha, I lent it to you. The harei ha'edim, shehen yodim oso mikodim birshusi. And here are the edim who know that this used to belong to me. The yodua means marakama. It's yodua li, it's known to have previously been mine. And I have proof, I have Edim that testify to the fact that I'm the Marakama. The Hanisba Omer, the one who's being sued, the defendant, the Nitan, either you say Toveya and Nitva, or Toen Vinitan, as you see in the title of the section, Toen Vinitan. Hanisba Omer, Loki. Oh, there you go. Hanisba says, Loki. He's on the screen. There you go. The Nitva says, Loki. That's not true. Ela ata mechartali. You didn't give it to me as a shoel. You didn't give it to me as a shomer. You sold it to me. I'm a lokeach. It's mine. Nesatali b'matane. Whether you sold it to me, you gave it to me as a gift. Hareza nishba heses v'niftar. So min ha-Torah, the nitva wins. I am a muchzik tfis d'hashtag. You're the marakama. You prove you're the marakama. It's very nice. I don't dispute that you're the Marakama. Right? The opening case in Parakhes Halacha Aleph, he's not claiming you never owned it. No, I agree that you owned it, but you sold it to me. Yes, you owned it, but you gave it to me as a present. With the Taya, Chazaka with the Taina. Right? Ram is presenting, interestingly, that even by Matalton, you have Chazaka with the Taina. I'm Muchzak, Tfisa Dahashta, and I say, of course, it used to be yours, but it's no longer yours, and here's why. So then I win. Ramam mentions also, Adindrabanan, a dindraban takana is usually seen to be takanas amoraim. Does not appear in Mishnayos, but the Amora Rav Nachman talks about this. Shavuas heses. You saw the hey samach taf. Often is spelled with a yud also. Shavuas heses is a dindrabanan. If I am a kofer hakol, if you claim that I owe you something, and I deny it, I say absolutely not. Min haTorah, I'm going to win as is. I'm the muchzak, and I deny your claim. I'm saying something reasonable, or even somewhat reasonable. And I'm the muchzak. And then Min haTorah, it's the end of the story. You say you're the marakam. I say I agree with your marakam, but it's irrelevant, because you sold it to me. Yeah, you had Edom that last year you owned it. But 6 months ago, you gave it to me as a present. 3 months ago, you sold it to me, whatever it is. So Min haTorah, I win hands down. Midrabanan, I win hands up. Midrabanan, I have to swear. I have to swear Shavuos Heses in order to maintain the property. Okay? So you have a valid taina, but I'm the muchzak. I win, but I have to swear Shavuos Heses. Question.
Yeah, could we say that the two Rambam are really contradicting? Because Yehalath is if there's no, maybe we say they didn't make a claim, so that's why it's a
contradiction. Absolutely not a contradiction. Absolutely not a contradiction, yeah, correct. And that's why you'll notice how he opens. Parakhes, he opens by saying, Kal Matalton. Parakhidav, he opens by saying, Kalakarkos, right? He's giving you mamish titles. Some of the later, a generation or two afterwards, Rashba already actually does have titles for the sections of his sefer. When he wrote a sefer on a sefer halacha Torah Sabayis, so he has a mafteach at the beginning, a table of contents where he titles the sections. So the Rambam didn't write, Rambam wrote titles like Hilchos Tamei V'Nitan. He didn't write titles for his prakim. He often will, in the opening sentence, essentially tell you, here's what we're talking about. So you're absolutely right. Perches, he says, Metaltalin, Tisa Dahash to wins. And the contrast, that's why we're looking there, to see the contrast. Whereas in Karka, number one, we became clear from Perches that Yodu Alo means Cheskas Marakama. And the, not only in terms of terminology, but in terms of content, is a very clear and deliberate contrast. Rambam says by metaltalim, that's bava kama, that's bava tzidah dafkuf. Right, going back to the beginning, by metaltalim, tzidah dahashta wins over cheskas marakama, but by karka, no. Even though someone else has it, is tachas yidei acherim. It's under someone else's hand. He doesn't use it, not the at least initially, doesn't use the language that in Perakhes is there are Bechezkas Zeshahin Tachas Yadov. But here it's Tachas Yadov, but it's not Bechezkas so. It's Bechezkas the owners, meaning the original owners. Ketzad, Reuven Mishtamish Bechatzer, Kedev Shah Mishtamish Bechatzer says, Reuven has a chatzer, he has a yard, and he uses it the way people use their yards. Darba, he lives there himself. So he rents that to others. Bone of a soser, maybe he does some, he's doing construction. Doing the sorts of things that owners do. And those are three different options what owners might be doing. You might live there yourself, it might be a rental property, or it might be under construction. Those are all things that owners do with their own properties. The acher zeman bo shimon, the ton halach. Shimon shows up and says, Reuven, what you doing? Chatzah zu shtachas yadcha. Yeah, you're presently, it's tachas yadecha, you're being tofis it right now, but shali, I rented it to you. Or Sha'ula, or I lent it to you. Or Gazula, or Sami, or Ganav. You're a Gaz and you stole it from you. What does Reuven say? Hashiva Reuven, Reuven responds, Shelcha, it's not true. It was yours. It was yours. But it isn't anymore. Atza Mechartali, you sold it to me. Mesatli Matana, you gave me as a present. In Ein Edim, so now what? So the Rambam sort of gives us like a flow chart. So that's the initial Din Torah. Those are the two times. Reuven is here now, and Shimon is the Marakama. Shimon claims to be the Marakama, and Reuven doesn't deny that Shimon is the Marakama, but he says, yes, you're the Marakama, but you're no longer the owner. You were, but that changed. You sold it to me, you gave it to me as a present. So now what are the options? So the Rambam says, interesting to see the way he sort of unwinds the cases. He says, case number one, option number one, is does Shimon, question number one to ask is, can Shimon even prove that he's a Marakama? He had assumed that in Perches. The Shimon came, even though the Shimon actually has Edom, he's a Marakama, he still loses. But here he says, one second, Imein Edom L'Shimon, Shaisi Yadu'alo, Shimon just claims that he's a Marakama, but doesn't prove it. Nishba Reuven Hesses Yamim Kamos. So then Reuven just swears her Shavuos Hesses and he walks off. Because Reuven is admitting, this we'll get to Mitzvah as we progress next semester. This is essentially Amigo or Pesha Asa. Right? And Reuven admits that Shimon is a Marakama, but says, but it's irrelevant because you're no longer the owner. Reuven could have also denied that. Reuven could have said, I don't know who you are, Shimon. I don't know where you fell from. Who are you? And then Shimon would have no case whatsoever. So even if Reuven is the one who's saying, yes, it's true, Shimon was the Marakama, but no longer the owner, Reuven wins. But in Havi, Shimon Edim, but if Shimon doesn't just claim to be the Marakama, he proves he's the Marakama. He has Edim, the Chatzazu Shalom Ha'isa, they used to be his. And Harehi Bechezka Shimon. Shimon is the Muchzak. Shimon is the Muchzak based on what? Based on what Shimon by Shimon the Muchzak? Chesed Marakama. And what do we say to Reuven? Omer Reuven, we tell Reuven, Haveri Raya Shemachar Alach and Masalach. You claim that he sold it to you. You claim that he gave it to the present. Prove it. What sort of proof could he bring? A star or live Edom, right? You could either bring a star Mechir or a star Matan or a Kev Edom. We were witnesses. We saw the sale took place. We saw the sale take place. We saw the gift. Bring witnesses, bring a shtar, it's great. If you cannot prove, and it goes, Nachzir so Shimon goes back to Shimon. Even though Reuben is not modal Shimon Shiyosu Shalom. Even if Reuben doesn't agree that Shimon was ever here, doesn't matter. Because Hare Yesh Edim L'Shimon. If Shimon can prove he's a Marakama with independent Edim, then Shimon is the Muchzuk, and Reuben better prove that it's no longer Shimon's, or else he's going to lose. It's all of Lahavi Raya on Reuven. The Muchzuk is the Marakama. That's the way the Rambam begins. He's like laying the table, step by step. Step number one is Tfisa Dash does not all it's cracked up to be in the world of Karkos. By Metalatlim, Tfisa Dash is king. That's why he opened Parakhes. Metalatlim, you can have all the Marakam in the world. If someone else is a Muxa Tfisa Dash, the Muxa Tfisa Dash wins. So by Karka number one, Tfisa Dash doesn't really seem to be playing any role so far. Marakama. Now, the Rambam says, you have to prove it. Okay? You have to establish that you're Marakama. But if you don't have Edim, you're not going to get very far. But if you have Edim, you're the Marakama. Boom. You're the Muchzuk. And now the bull's in Reuben's court to prove that that he's the present owner. And with that background, the Rambam then introduces the name of our parents. By that time, I'm going to Perek Bey. When is it true? I just told you that it's that the Reuven, the new guy, is the owner. The burden of proof is on him. He has to either bring a raya or else leave. That's only b'shalom nishtamish b'zman merubah. He didn't use it for a long time. Interesting language. Maybe eid mishalachal peiros karkazu shalosh shar mitzvos. If he can bring Aden, that he's been here for three consecutive years. B'nehne b'chula. And he enjoyed and benefited from the entire property, the way people typically use their property. And the original owner, the Marakaman, could have known that Reuben is there and chose not to be Moche. That's a big mouthful. Let's unpack that in a moment. In other words, Shimon is the Marakama, but if Reuven has a Chesed Zabatim, then Reuven wins. He has to swear Shimon's Chesed, but he will win with his Chesed Zabatim. That was let's digest that for a moment. Number one, as we proceed through the parak, we're going to appreciate more and more of the nuances, the last few lines that we read, because the Rambam managed to with his golden pen, compress a whole bunch of sugyas into a few lines. Every phrase, he was listing off more and more conditions. And he said, you need 3 years, ritzufos, consecutive, that's the upcoming sugya, and nene bechula, you have to enjoy the entire property, not have to have part of it, and then keder shenen kol adam, okay, that's achzik keder achzik ginsh, that's been normal achilas peiros, and that there was a possibility of macha, and they didn't. That's a lot of variables that the Rambam very elegantly fit into one smooth, long, but smooth sentence. You'll also notice that the Rambam at the end slips in the Shavuos Heses, that if you're winning based on Chesed Zabatim, you do have to swear Shavuos Heses. And you'll notice also the before Ram got to all these details, 3 years, Ritzufos, so on and so forth, he had given sort of the thumbnail portrait, before he gets into all the details, what's the thumbnail portrait of what Chesed Zabatim is? To be there, even before that. Zman Merubah. He said, I told you the Marakama wins, that's only if the new guy wasn't there for a long time. But what he's essentially saying is, in broad strokes, you need to be there for a long time. What does a long time look like? In detail, a long time means 3 years, Ritzufos, Nenebuchal Akarka, da 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 da, those are all the details. But the concept is, if you were there for a long time, so then, now the balance of power has shifted. Now, the burden of proof is, you're the one who's going to win, and the Marakama is going to lose. So it's a very, very pretty Rambam, and he's just getting started. Now the table's set. Now we can see how he unpacks things. So he already laid out a good percentage of Parakas Kabatim in a couple of lines. And now he says, why is it all true? Why is it that if you've been there for a long time, and as prescribed, all these details, parameterizing what it looks like to be there for Zaman Meruba, so why does all of a sudden now Reuven wins? Why is the Marakama Shimon losing? So what do you expect the Rambam to say? What do you expect the Rambam to say? Why does Marakama lose? And therefore, based on our Gemara, what would you say? Shtar, right? What does he say? If they Shalom L'Shimon, here can you look at base? Why does Cheskabatim win? Because we say to Shimon, Im Emes Ata Toin Shalom Acharton L'Satam. If we say to the Shimon the Marakama, if it's true that you never sold it to Reuven, if it's true that you never gave it to Reuven as a gift, if it's true that not only you used to own it, but you still own it, how come this fellow has been using your field, your real estate more broadly, year after year, and it's not as though you have documentation to your relationship, if you had a star that shows that the lease, a star that shows that it was given a security for a loan, Mela. But you know that the guy's using your land year after year. You know that you have no documentation in your back pocket, Mr. Shimon Marakama. You have no documentation to show that you still own the land. And you weren't mocha. How could it be that you weren't mocha year after year after year? How does that strike you?
Similar to the Rabbi Yono.
Is it?
Yeah, that 3 years need to, that the whole stage is being set with there being 3 years followed. Oh.
So he is saying clearly that, not the first thing that strikes us is Shtar Mizdaher is nowhere to be found. Right? And instead of what's he talking about? Kapit. You were in Makbet. You were in Mocha. Ah, how could it be you were in Mocha? Elamai? It must be. If you were in Mocha, that's proof that. That's it. Right? That's proof that it is. And he goes on to say, oh, you might say, I didn't hear about it. I was far away. There's no way you didn't hear about it. Otherwise known as Chavrach Chavra Islay. The Chavra de Chavrach Chavra Islay. Fascinating. But no, nothing about the Shtar. And then, where does Rambam talk about the Shtar? He doesn't, or does he? Does Rambam ever talk about the Shtar, about the 3 years of zeros? I mean, he just ignores the Maskar and the Gemara?
No, it's implied.
Whoa!
Maybe he passes like every Shmuel.
Maybe he passes like every Shmuel. Maybe it's implied. Or maybe the answers lie, as a Talmid Chacham and a Yeshiva said to me many years ago, sometimes the answers lie in the Vaitrinus. The answers lie in the Vaitrinus. Halacha Dalet. Perek Yud Aleph Halacha Dalet. And then we'll swing back around. We'll circle back for questions, Rabbi Moshe. Why not? V'pnei Mayin Omer L'Reuven. Im Emes Hu Adavar Shemocha L'Chon Asin L'Chon Matana. Says the Rambam, I have a kasha, which is rare. Rambam rarely asks kashas. Says, I have a kasha. Why is Reuven winning? He's winning with his Cheskas Habatim. Because we say to Shimon, where have you been for 3 years? You were in Mocha, you were in Makbid. Clearly, you have no case. Why don't we say to Reuven? Mipnei Mayin Omer LeReuven and Emes Hu Adavar Shemachal Chanos Nelchav Matana. Lama Lo Nizhar Te Bishtar Shelcha. Why don't we say to Reuven? You're a little suspicious yourself, big guy. I understand. You claim that you bought it, and you don't have a star. You claim you bought, you don't have a star. Ipnesha ain't. Why don't we say that to Reuven? Why doesn't Reuven lose? Because he has no shtar. Ipnesha ain't Adam Nizer b'shtar of a hole kol yamav. Because a person isn't going to be careful with a shtar forever after. Chazaka she'en adam nizir b'shtara el ad shalosh shanim. People are only careful with a shtar for up to 3 years. Kevin shiroa she'en adam mamche b'yado shuvei anizir. 3 years go by and no one's giving you a hard time. It's been quiet. It's been peaceful. At that point, I'm likely to toss my shtar away. So what did Rambam tell us? He does mention Mizdar Bishtaro. But at what point does he mention Mizdar Bishtaro? Right. It's a footnote. Ibn Yonah had presented that Rabbi Yonah, remember, had said that it starts with Mizdair, right? And since a person is La Mizdair after Gimel Shanim, Ramela Iev Shalitam after Gimel Shanim. The Marakama, let's debate that here. And Yonah had said, since a person is, people tend to be careless with their shtaros, so therefore, after 3 years, you lose your capacity to the Marakama loses his capacity, the statute of limitations. Speak now or forever, hold your peace. You got 3 years to speak up. You didn't speak up for 3 years, you're done. And then Yonah had said, why is that true? How come Yefshar lit on the regular shtarim? And Yonah had said, Akana Sahara. As a matter of fact, if you turn to the back of your Gemara, now when you can turn all the way to the Rif, Daf Yudal Amin Alpha Dapi Arif. He quotes the beginning of the Mishnah and then he jumps straight to our line, the Gemara. Yidam al-Badapi Arif, Cheskazabatim, Bor, Shechim, Aris, etc. Cheskasan Gimel Shalom Yom Yom. Vestei Abal, Cheskasan Gimel Shalom Ve'enim Yom Yom. Cheskasan Gimel Shalom Ha'itayma. So now the Rif, Yidam al-Badapi Arif, the Rif, Kedarko, we had seen this previously, but now we're actually up to it. He cuts away the entire first blot of the Gemara. Because we don't pass on like Kol Chayusha. We don't pass on like Rav Yosef. My Taima, Omar Rava, Shata Kamaisa Mizdair, Inish Bishtara, Tarti Mizdair, Tlas Nami Mizdair, Betfe Lo Mizdair. Period. Says Rabbeinu, says the Muke Yosef, Tfe Lo Mizdair, Ki Savur Lo Ya'arer Alav Adamot. At this point, he figures, no one's going to give me art. It's been three quiet years. I'm not going to be careful of the shtar anymore. Since that's the way people think, Chazal only gave you 3 years. So that was a line that Tiknu Chachamim, that the Ketzos picked up on. We saw it already several generations earlier in Ben Yonah. That's the same logic. That since people are not mizar the shtar, the achar gimel shtar shketos, let's say, after three quiet years, people stop being careful about the shtar. So therefore, Ben Yonah says, and then Mukha Yosef says, Shakaras Chachamim was that you cannot, that once the three quiet years go by, you, the Marakaba, lose the right to speak up. That's what Ketzos said. We had seen yesterday Ketzos said as well. Seder l'kuchos, he said. Chazal made a takana drabanan to protect buyers. Because the sellers know that buyer psychology is, after three quiet years, you tend to get careless with your shtar. In order to protect buyers from conniving, fraudulent sellers, we're going to wait 3 years and then go. So Chazal said, after 3 years, midrabanan, you cannot be told. Min haTorah sounds like you could. Midrabanan, you could not. We should note also, by the way, that this notion of that the whole logic produces lo mizdaher, which are the Rishon did we just see, who seems to think that it begins and ends with lo mizdaher? You just saw a Rishon. No. We'll get back around in a moment. Ram does not begin with lo mizdaher. He ends with lo mizdaher. We just saw this Rishon. Just in the last few minutes. The riff. Thank you. The riff cuts out everything. He doesn't say anything about Kapit whatsoever. Oh, he starts the story from lo mizdaher. So the riff appears to be here as well. Very much in this world. Whereas the Rambam said that why is it Shimon's? Why is it Reuven's rather? Why does the new guy win? Because. What? Right. Because it's the Shtikas Amarkama, which makes it his. Narvaz, you could have had a Kasha. You could have had a Kasha, yeah. But how about the Shtar? The Shtar is a footnote. The Shtar for the Rambam is a footnote. Shtikas Marakama makes it Shalal Okeya. Shalal Machazik. But Tov Gimel Shanim is the Taina of Achvi Shtar. Lachar Gimel Shanim Ein Taina. So that's what the Rambam said, and the truth is that's what, as we saw, the Ramban and the Ritva said, that the story begins, the logic begins with Shtikas HaMarakama. It starts with the Shtikas HaMarakama. That's where everything starts. That's where everything starts. Really, we're still in Kapit. We had seen over the last couple of days, Ramban says that, the Ritva says it very clearly, Ramban, non-Arsig, but later on the Dapman Beis, the Ramban that the Ksos had pointed us to. It begins with Shtikas Marakama. What's it called? Mizdaher is a detail. Mizdaher now. There are nuances of difference. There are nuances of difference between these Rishonim. It's true that the Ramban, the Ritva, the Rambam, they each have different flavors of this basic approach. Do you want to call this type A? They call this type B. So, as we saw, there are differences because the Ramban, Ramban understood that it's a riot. Whereas the Ritva seemed to say that the Shtikas Marakama actually makes you a Mufsa. And what they both agree to, Ramban says it's a Raya Miyad. The Ritva seems to say become Mufsa Miyad. The Rambam, right. The Rambam seems to say that it happens after 3 years. Rama says it happens after 3 years, which is intriguing because you have to figure out how does he deal with the Gemara. I think there are even some Achronim who suggest he may have had a somewhat different gears in our Gemara. Because he sometimes did, and it's hard to know. But it's what is clear, again, these are different variations, and you're right, some of you were noticing, well, the Lachar Gimel Shanim, that sounds a lot like Rabbeinu Yonah. It's true Rabbeinu Yonah tells Lachar Gimel Shanim. But if you zoom out, there are a lot of details here. But the biggest picture item is what's the main driver? That's how you would phrase it in Lamdas. Or you would say, have we totally gotten rid of Kapit or not? From a shock of attire perspective. How strong was that Ella? So the Ramban, the Ritva, the Rambam all have in common is that fundamentally it's still all about kapit. And the Mizdaher is dealing with details. The Mizdaher is patching certain holes. But basically, that's what we were calling previously the different components. Right? It was different components. What drives Chesavatim is kapit plus Mizdaher. Kapit plus Mizdaher. Questions about the Rambam? Yeah. You've been waiting very patiently.
Why can't the Rambam be saying that the driving force is that he was quiet because, like the same thing that Benino was saying, that it's suspicious that he was quiet until after 3 years were up? Like, where do we get covered? Why are we getting covered from the Rambam?
Covered just means. Maybe we should be clear. I'm just using one term, but let's not lose the meaning behind the terminology. The Gemara had said previously, what's Chesabatim all about? And it must say, well, if you were in Makbid for 3 whole years, obviously it's not yours. Right? That had been, Rav, version one was, maybe you even were Mochel. Version one was, well, maybe the first couple years, maybe you were Mochel on the Paris, but by now you're not Mochel. The Gemara said, not Mochel, but just, maybe you let it slide. I wouldn't be mocked, but for up to 3 years, I won't be, I'll just let it slide. But no one's going to just let it slide if you own the karka for 3 years. If you're really the owner, you're not going to let it slide for 3 years. So the fact that you weren't mockbid for 3 whole years is an indication that you have no claim. It's an indication that you no longer own this property. Right? So that's what we say, kapid, that's what it means. That stage in the Gemara.
I just think he's implying, like what the Rabbeinu Yonah said.
How do you mean?
Because, I don't know, from the words, to me it seems like he's just saying that the reason he wasn't, that him being mechal, not protesting for 3 years, is that's making him, that's like him waiting to make sure that he doesn't have a shtar.
Maybe, except remember that where does that appear to you? In Halacha Beis or Halacha Dalet?
And right. Dalet also just pushes.
Well, the problem is, remember, the Rambam is trying to build things from scratch. He's not assuming prior knowledge. So he hasn't said anything about Ashtar yet. You already know we spoke about Ashtar, but the Rambam is starting from square one. Perek Yudaf Halacha Aleph, he's starting with a clean slate, with a blank canvas. He hasn't said anything about Ashtar yet. The Ashtar is a footnote that's going to appear in Halacha Aleph. So to say that in Halacha Beis, he's already assuming, oh, why is there no Ashtar? It's a little difficult. He hasn't mentioned the Ashtar yet. He mentions the star only, but why not, you know, under Karuvein, but why not attack him with the times of Achvei Shtarach? Again, the Rambam is writing by choice in Hebrew, not in Aramaic. So he doesn't say Achvei Shtarach, but he says, Lama lo nitzhar to b'shtar shalcha.
Shouldn't Dalad push the fact that he's saying it. Yeah, he said bees, and maybe that would make it seem like we're not worried about suspicion, we're worried about, we're just the guy from the fact that he didn't claim for 3 years. But then Dalad is kind of clarifying what he was saying and saying, no, we're going to be suspicious from the fact that he didn't. Like, Dalad is.
So this comes back to a methodological point. This comes back to a methodological point we've made in the past, which is appreciating what genre, what type of Sefer Rishon was writing is critical to being attuned to which kashas to ask and what you can to make and so on and so forth. So the Rambam's goal, his stated goal, was to take the Torah Shel Peh and reorganize it and put it into strict logical order. So if, and that's why, again, as the very first Briskrov and Sefer, very first piece in Briskrov already points out, Hilchos Talmud Torah, is that's why location matters so much in Rambam, that whether he puts this. A lot of significance is that they put the din in Perek Hay or Perek Vav. Because Perek Hay and Perek Vav are about two different dinim. If one Perek is about Hilchus Kvod Rabbo, the other one is about Hilchus Kvod Talmid Chacham in general, so into which Perek he puts the din will tell you, is this a din Kvod Rabbo or just a general din in Kvod Talmid Chacham? So that's the context of the opening revival. Over here, if Shtar is really the basis of of the core explanation of why Chesed Batim works, he wouldn't have waited until Halacha Dalad to tell it to you. Especially since there's so much, it's not even one long sentence. He gives other cases. We skipped Halacha Gimel entirely. Halacha Gimel has more cases of details of Macha, and some of them are upcoming Gemaras. Shimon came, but he was too busy with business. He couldn't be Moche. All the details of is it valid to say, you know, there was a reason why I wasn't Moche? When can you say there's a reason why I wasn't Moche? It's all about Macha. And then he says, oh, by the way, now that I'm done talking about Macha, by the way, you might have a question. It's very nice that Shimon wasn't Moche, but on the other hand, Reuven doesn't have a star. So Shimon wasn't Moche, that's, you know, that tells us something. But on the other hand, Reuven doesn't have a star. So that should tell us something too. The answer is, well, no, after 3 years, it's not strange that Reuven doesn't have a star. That doesn't sound like that's part of the, if you read the Rambam in context, it doesn't, you could try to say that, but the Derech HaMelech in the Rambam is that that's a detail. It's a footnote. But that's not
like,
shots.
That part's like Rabbi Yonah.
Let's clarify. The Gemara says that after 3 years the person not mizdar b'shtar. That's a Gemara. That's Rava. The question is, what do you do with that? Now, in Yochanami, as he pointed out yesterday, part of the strength of Rabbeinu Yonah, which has now become Rif Rabbeinu Yonah, Nemuk Yosef and Ketos, part of the strength of that is that we understand the Ella, the Gemara rejected all the rest. He says, no, it's all about Mizdar B'Shtari. But Rabbeinu Yonah didn't write Mizdar B'Shtari. Rava did. It is the Gemara. So the other Rishonim are going to find a place for Mizdar Inish B'Shtari, La Mizdar Inish B'Shtari, but they have to figure out where it fits into the framework of ideas. But the point is, for the Ramban, the Ritva, and I believe the Rambam, It's there somewhere in the framework of ideas, but it's not the central piece. It's a side piece. It's a step two.
Yeah. But let's expand this. Let's expand this now some more.
Now let's come back to the other side. So we seem to have, in terms of those who see that the imacha, the lack of macha, the lack of kapeda on the part of the marakama is really what's driving things. That hasn't been rejected. So that seems to be the position. The Ksos refers to the sheet to the Rabban. It's also Ritva, who the Ksos did not have. And it's also, I think Ritva Bavasra was published more recently. And it's also Rambam. Lich Oro. Now let's come back to the other side. So he said, Ben Yonah is explicit, Milki Yosef is explicit, the Ksos is super explicit, that it all starts with Mizdar Inish B'Shtare, and therefore what? It starts with the fact that people tend to lose their shtaris after 3 years. After 3 quiet years, you're lulled into a sense of security. So it's not strange that you're not going to have the shtar. And as a result, we therefore don't allow the Marakama to raise claims beyond 3 years. Why? Rabbeinu Yonah said, Takanas Chazal. Nemuk Yosef said, Takanas Chazal. The Ketzos said, Takanas Chazal. Who's another Rishon who said Takanas Chazal? Who said it very, very tersely? Yeah? Did he? Not sure. Maybe. Take a look at the Rush. Perek Gimel Simen Aleph. The Rush, it's important to appreciate once again what you're looking at. The Rush lives at the end of the period of the Baal Yatosis. The Rush lives in the 1300s. He was, as we've discussed earlier in the year, he was a Talmud of the Maharami Rutenberg, together with the Mordechai and the Gaos Maimini. They're all the three major Talmudim of the Maharam of Rothenburg. Maharam of Rutenberg is famously put into jail. The local duke or count, whoever he was, the local aristocrat, wanted to hold up the Jewish community for money. So he took the Maharam of Rutenberg captive.
He realized Maran Rubberg was the gadol of Ashkenazi Jewry. And he realized, if I have Maram in my town, I can make good money off of him. He says, I'll squeeze the Jews for money. So he puts Maram Rubberg into jail, and the Maram of Rambin asked for an exorbitant ransom. Maram Rubberg said, Rabosai, you need to follow the Din HaMishnah. Speaking of Takanos, we've taken to Olam, there's a Mishnah, Gittin, in the middle of Gittin. We were talking yesterday about how we have a whole slew of Takanos, we've taken to Olam and Gittin. The Mishnah Gittin says, you're not allowed to pay more than the going rate for a captive. I'm not exactly sure how you figure what's a normal amount, what's exorbitant, but apparently there's some way to figure that out. So if you the Mishnah says, if you pay more than the going rate, then there's a concern, then you're gonna get this person back, but you're gonna prompt, you make Jews targets for ransom. So Chazal Meir Takana, you can't pay yeser al demand, more than the going rate, whatever it is. You can't pay an exorbitant ransom. That's a very, very painful shaila that comes up tragically, mipam lapam, how to figure out what the parameters of that are. And obviously it's an excruciating tension between the short term and the long term. You want to pay more to get this person out, but on the other hand, Chazal said, no such thing about the long term. You're going to pay so much to get this person out, you're endangering more Jews in the future. The Maram said, Rabosai, I, Paskin, you cannot get me out of jail. There's no buying me out of jail. Because he knew the community would have squeezed themselves to get the money together, and it would make it endlessly hazardous to be a rabbi. So the Maram, all future Rabbanim are indebted to the Maram for saying, we're not playing this game. And he adamantly refused to allow the community to ransom. And he spent the rest of his life in the prison in Eisenheim. It's fascinating. We have tshuvas as an aside. We have a number of the Maram's Mirutenberg's tshuvas, which are very relevant to halacha. A number of them are written with the byline. Now he gives the date. And the location is Migdal Eisenheim, the prison tower in Eisenheim. It's a fascinating thing. They allowed him. They allowed him Sfarim. They allowed him visitors. And he and that's how he received shilas and sent tshuvas. And he, it's a fascinating thing that some point out. That duke, that count, whoever he was, he thought that he was holding all the chips and he was the powerful one and he had the Maharam Rutenberg under his thumb. And now, some 700 years later, no one, except for a few historians, no one even remembers the name or cares about whoever that, by now, nameless counter-duke was. But the words of the Maharam, which he wrote while he was in prison, continue to shape our halachic practice, Adi Al-Mazen. Fascinating. Talk about long-term perspective. So the Maharam of Rotenberg dies in prison, and the Rush flees Germany for Spain, perhaps because he thought he was next. Or perhaps because he recognized that there were pogroms on the way, and tragically there were. The Rheinfleisch massacres came to Germany a few years later. The Mordechai, Maram's fellow, his chavrusa, whatever, there were fellow Talmidim, Maram Rutenberg. The Mordechai was killed as a young man in Germany. He did not escape Germany in time. He was killed as a young man in Germany. That's why the Mordechai, which also appears in the back of the Gemara, is not as well used, in part because it was never, Mordechai didn't live long enough to edit his sefer. It's a beautiful sefer, but he didn't have the chance to finish it. But the Rosh Baruch Hashem escaped Germany in time. He heads to Spain. He passes through Barcelona. I think I mentioned to you guys earlier in the year. He spends, historians write about this, he spends 8 days learning the Chavrusa with the Rajba. Rajba was taken over the Ramban's Rabbanus in Barcelona. And on his Russia was on his way through Spain, ultimately lands in Toledo in southern Spain where he takes Rabbanus. But they caused themselves to learn together for 8 days. What you wouldn't give to be a fly in the wall. Imagine that. Two of the greatest Gedolei Yisrael of the last 1,500 years. Since Chasimus HaTalmud, the Rush and the Rajba, and they never met each other before. They'll probably never meet each other again. And there was no telephone. There was no Zoom. They mounted two Gedolei Yisrael beyond their generation, had 8 days to learn together. Wow. Imagine what that.
Maybe we should have another Hanukkah then to commemorate the 8 days.
Maybe. In the Hanukkah. So that's the Rush. So you have the Rush in front of you. What the Rosh did at the end of the period of the Baal Yad Tosfos, as Avram Freiman talks about in his biography of the Rosh, there's a codificatia. At the end of the whole period, the Gaonim, the Ramban pulls it together into a code, into a Kitzur Halacha. Around three centuries later, at the end of the period of Baal Yad Tosfos, the Rosh pulls together, takes the riff, and adds. And what you have in front of you, the Piskei Rosh, are the riff plus. As a matter of fact, in some editions, some newer editions, they have different fonts for the part of the Rosh that's from the riff and the part of the Rosh that he added. So you take a look. Take a look. Paragimel Simen Aleph. The very beginning of Cheskel Zabatim, his first paragraph is the Mishnah, and the Rosh adds a lot to the Mishnah, which the Rif did not. Well, he talks about the fact that the Marakama needs to have Edim, that he's a Marakama, which the Rambam had written as well. And then he says, with Dir Masel Gemara, Cheskasim Gimel Shanim, my time, Amar Rava, Shataka Maisim is Darin Ish Bishtare, Tartim is Dair, Tulasim is Dair, Tfelam is Dair. What's he quoting? Well, he's quoting the Gemara, and he's quoting the Rif. That's exactly how the Rif began, because that's what the Rosh usually does. He takes the Rif, and then he adds. And here we go. The Rif, if you're looking back at the Rif just has the first line in Rava, and then he already jumps into Amalei Abayel, Mi'ata B'choshal B'fanav, etc. But the Rosh is going to get to that in the next line, Amalei Abayel, Mi'ata. But in between, the Rosh adds in one line of his own. The Tiknu Chachamim, She'im Yavi Eidim Shachal L'Gimel Shana B'Shofi, She'ein Tzarech L'Haros Shtaro Yoser. He adds one line of explanation. That people aren't, the Rava said, people aren't careless with their shtar after 3 years, and therefore, says the Rosh, Chazal or Mesakein, that after 3 years, you're not mechuyav to show your shtar. In other words, is in the same camp. The Rosh is here as well. It's Rav Yona and the Rosh and the Nemuke Yosef and themselves. And now let's take a look, finally, at one more Rishon. That is the Rashba. The Rashba is exceptionally rich. Exceptionally rich. Kidarko. Kidarko Bakosh. Let's take a look at the Rashba. As a matter of fact, I gave you two versions of Rashba. So take a look at the Rashba and his Chidushim on Bava Basra. It's in the packet. Chidusha Rashba. The Rashba also wrote a tshuva. We have in Rashba, wrote thousands of tshuvas for halacha. And one of them, at least one of them, is about Chesed Sabbatim, specifically talks about our circuit. Let's take a look. Ela Amar Rava. We're building more of a structure here. And now as our structure becomes more nuanced, so we can figure out how the different pieces fit in. And now let's figure out where the Rashba fits in. Ela Omar Rava. You'll notice the Rashba, the way it appears in front of you, is not that long. And the Rashba, the way it appears here, it's how many pages? 1, 2, 3, 4 pages. There's a lot in the footnotes. Okay, we're not going to access all the footnotes. Matter of fact, we want to do is actually read. Sometimes footnotes are distracting. You're going to read the Rashba with open eyes. Ela Amar Rava, Telas Shnin Mizdar Inish Bishtare, Tefela Mizdar. He has that, the more typical girsa, the one that we have, the one that the Rif had, not the one that the Ritva had. Okay. Up for 3 years, the person is careful for the shtar, but not more. Kilomar. What does that mean to say? Whenever you see the word kolomar, by the way, it should be like, there should be like red flags. Because kolomar just doesn't sound very exciting. Kolomar just means, that means to say. That means to say, that means that I need to tweak, it sounded like X, but it really means Y. It sounded like X, it really means X prime, X asterisk. Whenever you see a kolomar, the Rashi and the Ritva, I think, are the most used among the Rishonim, use the word kolomar the most. Here you have in a Rashba. When you see a kolomar, it means pay attention. You're about to hear a non-literal pshat. There's something, there's a twist that has to be added to the Lashon HaGemara. Kolomai, what this means to say is, Dezeh Yodeya that Tfeilom is dire. Not just a Metzias that the guy is not careful, the Baal HaShtar, the Loker isn't careful. This guy knows that Tfeilom, who's this guy? Mar Kama knows well that if you sell Karka, it's likely that your buyer will have lost his documentation if more than 3 years have passed. And therefore, this census Marakama, the Mocher, knows the Lokeach is likely not careful after with the Shtar after 3 years. Kilo Micha Tok Shalosh, if he was not Mocher within 3 years, Mechzi Kemarim Lishtok Achi Yovadze Rayosa. Mechzi, it would seem, it looks like, he's a Ma'arim. Ha'arama is trickery. Harama is trickery. You look like you were being sly. You were being clever. You, Marakama, very strategically waited, and you were silent for more than 3 years. You kept your mouth shut for more than 3 years. Chiyova Zerayosa. You bided your time. You knew that I'm going to keep my mouth shut for 3+ years. And then when Lokeh loses his shtar, then I'm going to pounce. Uvahachin Salka Shmaitin. And so our sugya ends. Salak is to, literally means to come up. Salak is to come up. The word maskana is what comes up. What's ha'ole mitoch hadvarim. Vahachas salak shmaitin. That's how our sugya closes. That's the maskana of our sugya. The Rashba is being pretty clear. He's aware of the fact there are different ways of looking at this gemara. And he's trying to lay things out with elegance and with clarity. What's the reason for 3 years? That's the reason for Chesed Sabbat. So he sounds like he's trying to say very clearly what? What's the Rashba trying to say? I hold like Rabban Yom. Right? He's aligned himself with the Riff from Rabban Yonah, Mukiyosef, Sosarash. Okay, most of the people lived after him. The Riff lived before. Rabban Yonah was a generation of one of his Rabbeim. And the Rosh, I don't know if this is before or after, I don't know when he wrote the Chiddush and Baba Basra. That was before or after he had met the Rosh. Or who heard it from? Maybe this is one of the things they discussed. Maybe one of them convinced the other to buy into it. It's hard to know. It's entirely possible. They had 8 days to learn with each other. When you learn Cheskes Avatim? When you learn Cheskes Avatim? Entirely likely. It's entirely likely that this is part of what they discussed. It may have been a 1 minute conversation. They had a lot to talk about in 8 days. So they were, they had been talking in Myra
Mekaimus. No, the other time they were decisive.
But then the Rashba says, so we can put the Rashba up here. But then he says, watch what he does. The Rashba has a lot more to tell us. He has several more points to make. I want you to notice what the Rashba does tell us. I also want you to notice what the Rashba does not tell us. He has so much to say, so much richness, that it's harder to notice what isn't said. So let's work our way through the Rashba. We'll appreciate each chunk, and then we'll also consider what he managed to avoid saying. Elamihu, he says, now, while it's true that Maskaras HaSugya is Mizdair, I would suggest, by the way, that when he's through the language of Bahachin Salka Shmaitin, this is the maskana. Not only he's being clear that I know there's a machlokas and this is what I hold, but he may also be trying to make the point that I made the other day, which is that a raya to this approach of Rabban Yonah, the Rashba, is the language of the Gemara. To say that Mizdaher is not the main point doesn't fit with the... you could be madchik, but it's only that the simple reading of the Gemara is that we rejected kapit. Ella Amar Rava. So that's probably part of what the Rashba was trying to say. This is a maskana. Everything before was rejected. Maskana is, no. Forget about Kapit, forget about Machil, forget about Yirmiyahu, forget about Sharam Wood. It's a Tzlas Mizdar, it's Fela Mizdar. I think the Omer Kapshat and what the Rashba is saying. Read the Gemara, that's what the Gemara said. The Gemara said it's all about that the central point here is Mizdar. At the same time, the Rashba says, while the central point is Mizdar, that's the Pashas like Gemara, and that's what it's all about. At the same time, the Rashba says, let's not ignore the other 30-some-odd blot in our parak. There are more deen. We're just getting started with Cheskas of Atin. Elamiu haitaima megad agad nami bachilas peros. Let's not ignore the fact that this core concept, that the svara of Cheskas of Atin being tfeilo mizdayer, is also megad agad. It's still pulling on, it's still connected with Achilas Peiros. It's not only about the Shar. You do definitely have to. It's not enough to hold on to your Shar for 3 years. The Lokeach, also have to be using the Karka. That's what the Mishnah said. And moreover, he says it's upcoming Sugis. If you're not using the Karka fully, near is where they turn the bomb. These are Gemaras later. I grade these out in the Mar Makomos, because you hadn't yet seen the details. I wanted you to see the principles, not seen all the cases you haven't yet seen. But this is from later, Lamed Vav Amud Aleph. Near is where you just plowed the field, but you didn't actually plant it. You plowed the field, but you didn't go all the way. This is step one. If you're a normal farmer, we'll plow the field and seed it, and then a few months later, harvest it and take in the crop. If you just did near, you just plowed the field over, but you didn't do anything else, that doesn't count. That's not a chazak. It's not going to Aflam above. Or, apikura of ayilkura. You're planting in a way that you're just getting, you're recycling the same amount. You're not growing a large. The point of planting a pound of seed is not to get back a pound of seed. The point of planting a pound of seed is to get back 10 pounds of seed, 100 pounds of seed. So if you're farming in an awkward way, that doesn't count. Why? Why is Achilas Peiros, and specifically Achzeki Inshi, normal Achilas Peiros, which is Gemaras throughout Perek Chesabatim, which we saw in the Rambam as well. He was just quoting the Gemaras. So Rashba says, those Gemaras are there. Now, why does it matter? The Rashba now is asking, by the way, you realize, he's demonstrating the weakness of type A, the weakness of the Ramban Ritva Rambam, is the Gemara and Daf Chavtes sounds like it's all about Mizdar. Okay, the Rashba, that's true, and that's how I hold. On the other hand, the weakness of version B is, if it's really all about the Shtar, so then why do we care so much about Chilas Peiros? You have all these Gemara in the rest of the Perek, later on, beyond the opening Sugya, Achilas Peiros matters, and specifics of normal Achilas Peiros, Achzikid Achziki Inshi, which is going to be a recurring motif throughout the Perek. Why does that matter? You held on to your star. Now after 3 years, you don't have your star. We don't have to have your star. And that guy can't say anything. He can't say boo. So why does it matter all the details of Achilles Peiros? Doesn't Achilles pay the significance of Achilles Peiros? In other words, the Rashba is saying, doesn't that indicate like type A? Doesn't that indicate like Ramban the Ritva? That it's really about the point is really the Marakama wasn't Mocha. The Marakama was Shosek. And Shosek in what? In the face of someone living on his land like an owner. This whole being like an owner business makes a lot of sense if it's all about the Shtika. But if it's all just about beyond 3 years, you don't have Yamuchim told down to your star, why do you care so much what happened during the 3 years? That's essentially what the Rashba is really unpacking the Shaklevitaria roots of this discussion. On the one hand, the strength, the power of the language of Chotes Samalav. On the other hand, my weakness is the rest of the parak, or the dinim. So how do you understand that? He says, no, let me it's absolutely true, and let me explain it. Time, it says absolutely true. Hi, time I make it agud machias peiros, and here's why. Time of the milsi doesn't explain ovim tomav shlomar, but that's clearly where he's driving it. Time of the milsim shem the high time of the tlas mizdar trei la mizdar lav ke hilchus below time and aktinan le. He says it's not like just hilchus below time, but this idea of beyond 3 years. It's not just like Halacha Moshe Misina, Exeris HaKasav, is just the way it is. No, there's a reason for it. There's a svar b'vitaymataya. There's a svar b'davar. There is a svar b'davar. Why is it, the Rajma says, there is a step even before. There is a step before. There's something that's causing. Where did it come from that people are careful with their shtaris for up to 3 years, but more not? That's the way people are, maybe. They just have to do with the technology, you know. If you don't have a filing cabinet, so whatever. And Klal Yisrael often were on the run. We were often wandering Jews. So it's statistically, just over the course of a lot of time, we recognize statistically people tend to lose their shtaris beyond 3 years. So Rashi says maybe, but maybe there's an explanation for that mitzvah. What's the explanation? The time Italia. Here's the reason why unrolling, taking a step back. Why is it? Where did step one come from? From step zero. Where did step one of Lama's Daryl, Buster, Gimel, Shan, Mishkeitas come from? Because V'hum, Yishum, Dekeven, the Ruben, Shal, Benyad, Makpid, Machilas, Peir, Shal, Shanim. Since most people, we're back to Kapit, but not exactly. Most owners would be Makpid within 3 years. Like the other thing that Rav had said previously, which was rejected, and most people don't necessarily take legal action less than 3 years. You know, right before 3 years is you're pretty close to 3 years is the common time for people to take legal action. Because it's the most common time for owners to try to sue is slightly less than 3 years later. That's when the sort of the bump of the bell curve. So buyers know this, and buyers therefore will be careful with their rias. Why? The Memer Amar Shema Yava Yom Machar V'Aralai. Because every buyer has in the back of his head, why do you hold on to your receipt? You went to the store, you bought something in Home Depot. Why do you hold on to your receipt? Because maybe you have to return it. Right? Unless you're the type of guy who cross-checks your credit card statement against your receipts. Right? So some people do that. But many people don't. But you hold on to a receipt because you want to make a return. Right? So if you once you know you're not returning it, so then you're not going to be careful with the receipt. Because now you need the shtar, you hold on to your shtar. So the lokeach knows, I better hold on to my receipt that I bought this karka because maybe the guy's going to come after me and I'm going to have to be able to show my shtar. So you know in the back of just like, you know, if you have a 90-day return policy, so beyond 90 days, what are you holding on to receipt for? You couldn't return it anyways. See here's not a question of wanting to return. Here's a question to make sure he doesn't try to seize it back. But if I know that he's likely to try to seize it back within 3 years, I'm going to hold on to the shtar for 3 years. Meimer Omar, Lokech says to himself, Shema Yava Yom HaMachav Yaralai. Maybe today he's going to show up and make trouble and claim that it's not really mine. Maybe tomorrow he'll show up and make trouble and claim it's not really mine. He'll be ma'arer. Avol achar sheroz zeh shoseh kol shalosh. But lokeach has been watching his seller with half an eye and making sure that the seller doesn't pull any funny business. And for 3 years the seller has been quiet, nothing, no trouble, no complaints. Lachar sheroz zeh shoseh kol shalosh. Boteach shal ya'ar od. At that point, the buyer gets comfortable. The buyer feels confident and secure that he doesn't have to worry about any further legal action. Apparently, this guy's okay. It's been 3 years. He hasn't said anything. Baruch Hashem, Baruch Hashem, my seller is not one of those frauds. Baruch Hashem, my seller is not one of those sneaky gazlanim who's going to try to make up a bilbul. Look, it's been 3 years. He hasn't said anything. Now I feel comfortable. V'shuv eino nizer b'shtaro. And once he feels comfortable, then already the shtar gets tossed or lost, whatever it is, active, passive, and whether you're actually shredding it, throwing it out, or stump, you're not at that point. You're not as careful, so you're not going to throw it out, but you'll forget where it is. It'll get lost. It's likely to disappear beyond 3 years. Now you're about to ask me, one second, the scandalous underbelly of the Rashba. He didn't really mean it. So he's really been on the Ramban side all the time. Not quite. Not quite, because watch what he does. He says, what I just told you is going to walk a fantastic tightrope. What I just told you is going to, the Yiddish expression, you can't dance the two chasnas. Rashi says, we're about to dance the two chasnas. It can be done. Not from experience, Baruch Hashem. You can even be at two different chuppahs and also two different first dances. You can go back and forth and back and forth. Huh? Baruch Hashem, Baruch Hashem. No, it's called a car. It's called a car.
But it can be at the same time.
But watch what the Rashba did. The Rashba was a Baal Moifus. Both sides, the Rashba was a Baal Moifus. Watch what the Rashba did. Rashba said, let's put this up on the board.
Did he take both approaches?
We'll put this in the... the dotted lines. In the dotted lines, the Rajma says, in the back is a usually Rov Kapti Toh Gimel. Usually people are going to make trouble, but make trouble within 3 years. As a result, the guy's not careful with the shtar. Now, isn't that the same as this? No. Watch what the Rajma says. He says, on the one hand, this is enough to solve my problems, but no more than to solve my problems. He says, what was my kasha? My kasha on this shita was, what do you do achilas peiros? Right? The strength of the shita is Ella Amar Rava. That's what's gewaldic about the shita, is Ella Amar Rava. Rejecting everything really aside from his dar. On the other hand, the strength of this shita was all the pirtei dinim of achilas peiros kederach bailam achzik kederachzik yishi. That makes a lot of sense if it's all about the shtikas ha'amarakama. But if it's about lamazdar inish b'shtari, who cares so much about achilas peiros? Who cares what you did in the karka? You're there, and it's been 3 years, so we're not worried about where your star is. So why are we talking about achilas peiros? So the Rashba says, no. You have to understand the following. It's true that the assumption is that we don't expect you to hold on to your star for more than 3 years. Why? So the logic is, if you've been using the land normally, so then it makes sense that after three quiet years means you've been living like an owner and he's been quiet. The same way, right? So if you're ocha also shaloka derech bailim, like the sugya of Tafticha, if you were doing it in a strange way, or it was near, you were just plowing, or lo nisker b'achilasan, this is another case he had quoted before, apikur v'ayelkur, you're planting in a way that you weren't really, you're planting a pound of seed, you're getting back a pound of seed. If you're farming in a strange way, adayin halokhin is harim, you, the new guy, are not going to let your guard down after 3 years. Because you know that you're not acting in a way that would have evoked the guy to come after you. Dechoshishin, shema lo chashish rabbayim la'arer. Maybe the guy is not being ma'arer. Shlo achlo, shalosh peiros. Nitzku b'achilas, you're not living there normally. And that's why he goes on to say, that's why macha matters also, right? If the mocher was moche, he didn't take you to Beis Din. He just made a statement in front of Beis Din that guy is a ganav. So that restarts the clock. Why? Because that's not. I'm still on guard. Now I know he may come after me. So a normal buyer would not let his guard down within 3 years of the mocher, making a stink, making a macha. He also would not let his guard down unless he's had three normal, fully owner-like years. So it's true that the reason why people typically are mizdaher only for 3 years is because the previous owner would typically make trouble within 3 years. That's when you need your shtar. But within 3 years of the lokeach living there normally. That's why the achilas peiros is relevant background, because it feeds into, it allows us to define what are the sort of 3 years after which, it all feeds into the document retention question. It all feeds in to at what point would a lokeach, would a normal, honest lokeach, feel comfortable being careless with the shtar. When does he develop that type of the comfort and complacency? If number one, he's been there for 3 years. Number two, the owner has not only not sued him, but hasn't even made any macha in 3 years. And number three, the new guy knows that he's been fully, expressively living like an owner, not doing things awkwardly, not farming it halfway. He's been living like he belongs. You know, I know that I've been living like I belong for 3 years, and despite all that, my seller is quiet. Not only hasn't sued me, he hasn't even made a macha. Oh, okay. So at this point, if I'm an honest guy, at this point I would feel comfortable, getting a bit complacent. I feel secure. I've been living very demonstrably as an owner, normal achilos peros, and which would have provoked, you know, which would, if he's gonna, you know, claim that he didn't sell it to me, that living like an owner for 3 years should have provoked some type of response, and it didn't. Okay, so apparently he's not gonna come after me. Oh, and now, here's the chop. So the Rashba says it's true that the background for. And why is a guy only nizer in the shtar for 3 years? Because normal achilas peiros for 3 years would have evoked some type of reaction. But at the same time, he says, one second, the Rashba is bothered. Now the Rashba is bothered. But now I'm getting back into kapid land, aren't I? Didn't the Gemara reject kapid? Why did the Gemara reject kapid? Because of what kasha? Bei Bal Yashiv. Right? Says, one second, but now I'm getting back into this. It should depend. This guy is more mocked, but less mocked. How can I say this? This? We're going back to what we had rejected. Now the writer says, no, watch this. Afal gav da fil de beber al yashiv de kapti tuva. He says, even if you bought your field, you bought your property from beber al yashiv, they're super mocked. That's still, I don't have a chazak in less than 3 years. Why? But I know that this guy would have come after me in 2 minutes if he was going to try to pull a stunt. Mishum dekev into Reuben Shabbanel during dark and since most people don't do it, akati nizer zebishtaro. It's not really about his kapeda. It's really about my zahiris in the shtar. The kapeda is just the background. That's not directly what's driving the chazaka. What's directly driving the chazaka is, would I still be careful with the shtar or not? And I would be careful with the shtar because most people take time to come after. Most sellers would take time to come after me. Even though my seller happens to be a hyper-kapten, my seller is Beit Baal Yashiv, but akati nizuzeh b'shtaro, a buyer will still be careful for 3 years. Why? Shema yitin lov shahikbeh kemosha ein darkosha shabinam lahakbed. It's not really about the marakama anymore. It's not really about the mocher. It's really about the psychology of the lokeach. So the mocher could still show up. I know that if Beit Baal Yashiv really think, honestly think, that the field is theirs, yes, they would come out, you know, with their shotguns within 5 minutes. But that's not what we're talking about now, this is Rajba. Remember, we rejected that. It's not really about Makbir. It's not really a raya from what's going on in the head of the Marakama. It's really a raya what's going on in the head of the new guy. The new guy, he should be holding on to his shtar. For how long? Long enough that he's not worried about the mocher coming after him. The shift from the rejected havamina of kapid, low kapid, to the final maskana of mizdar, lo mizdar, is that the raya is no longer from the psychology of the marakama. The psychology of the marakama, or patterns, general trends in how mokrim work, influences indirectly how lokhim work. But what we're really looking at is the lokeach's document retention. So yes, achilas peretz kiragil is necessary in order to be able to say that it's normal that he loses his shtar. And but we don't care about the specifics of who your mocher is. We really care, that's his background. And that's why we sort of filter out the, because of the step removed, we filter out the variation of your seller happens to be a captain. I don't care. It's really more about what the how long does the bar hold on to his shtar. And at this point, I ask you now to look back and ask yourself, what did the Rashba not say? He gave such a rich presentation of the second shita. He explained the raya from, or at least it was alluded to the raya, the strength of the shita being from the Ella Amarava, we're rejecting Kapit, and he explains, but why the Chilas Peiros matter? Gevaldik. What's the one thing the Rashba did not say, which almost everyone on column B did say? Rain Yona said it, the Rush said it, Mikyos said it, Xo said it. Right, he did not say a word about Tachan Zacham, very good. He didn't say a word about Tachan Zacham. And what did he say instead? Now turn back to the beginning of the Rashba. Right. Ze yodeya, going back to the very beginning, the Tfeilam is dire. The Mocher knows that Lokech is likely to be careless with the Shtar after 3 years. Kilo Micha tol sholosh mechzi kemarin. You look like a liar. You look suspicious. This is sketchy. I don't believe you. What type of... Oh, all of a sudden now he shines in after 3.5 years and says, I'm here to see you about my land. Oh, somehow for 3 years you didn't show up, but the moment you know the guy lost the shtar, all of a sudden you show up, that's really suspicious. We don't believe you. We take your taina and we throw it in the garbage. Because it's such a strong rove against your taina. The Rashba is saying, just as we saw in the first shita, there were different variations. Everyone, the Ramban, the Rav Mitzvah agreed that the shtikas marakam, which is leading to the shtikas marakam, which is really driving it. But we saw variations. What does shtikas marakam do? Is it a raya, a halchacha, or the create a muksa? So here also there are variations. Yes, lom is dire, and therefore you can't be towing after 3 years. But why? So most Rishonim said, what's the mechanism? It would be good to say that you can't be doing it for 3 years, but honestly, why not? So Moshe was saying, Chazal saw this is going to be a problem, so they stepped in. But the Rashba says, no, it's a raya. In other words, this is a svara d'oraisa.
Would the Riv also say that?
That's a great question. The Riv, we don't know. Fantastic. I'm glad you keep your eye on that. The Riff is mashma. Again, I can't prove. The Riff is very much mashma, not like the Ramban, because again, he left out all of Kapit. But the Rush, remember, had taken the Riff and added a line, because there's that missing line. Lom is dire, and therefore what? So the Rush had added, oh, and therefore Chazal Masakim. Would one of the Riff himself hold? Do you hold like the Rush of Eniona, and Mukyos and Niktos? But do you hold like the Rashba? That's a svara d'oraisa. I can't prove either way. Is it, would you have expected the Riff to have said Takan's Chazal? Like, it is, if you're not explaining, is the Rashba more understood? Maybe. I don't think that's a raya machrachas. Would you say it's a little bit of mashmos in the Riff, the hashmad, the silence of the Riff? Again, the Riff is often silent about things, so it's sort of neither here nor there. You definitely couldn't prove. If you were in Rav Avi Yosef style of counting poskim, the awful pastor shy based on how many poskim in Israel poskim say that way. Which is many do not have that mahalachim sak, and if you do have mahalachim sak, then you have to figure out who you count. So would you say that would you count the Riff as following the Rashba? I don't know about that. I would definitely count the Riff as following overall position B versus position A. Whatever that's worth. It's fascinating that the Rambam is usually aligned with the Riff. He's not mechuyev to be aligned with the Riff. 9 times out of 10, maybe 99 times out of 100, he's aligned with the Riff. Here he seems not to be, which is fine. And maybe that's why the Rambam took such pains to be so clear about what he held, because he knew he was disagreeing with the Riff, perhaps. But that seems to be, again, the two major versions of how to read the Hemshecha Gemara, how to deal with all the pieces in the Gemara, the one in the Ella Amar Rava, and then all the Dinim of Achilas Peirus, and therefore what the Lomdus is. The Ramban, the Ritva, and the Chor, the Rambam, say that the Marakama is, it's a Marakama silence, which is really driving things. The Marakama silence in the face of provocation, in the face of this new guy has been Ochel Peirus in a normal fashion. Whether it's 3 years of it, or just the almost immediately, either it's a riot that says, or makes him a muchzuk. It makes him a muchzuk. And then additionally, there's a point about the Ach Vishtarach. Whereas these Rishonim say, no, it's really about the Shtar. I should note, in the Tshuvas HaRashba, he seems to have changed his mind. I don't know which came first, which came second. If you look at the Tshuva of the Rashba, how did I find that Tshuva? Because in the footnotes on the Chiddush HaRashba, they told you to look in the Tshuvas HaRashba. So I looked. So they told you, look in Shulchan Aruch, he says something similar to what he says here. Now it's important to look it up. He does say a lot of similar things, but he stays in the zone. But he actually there says Takanas Chazal in the Shulchan. Take a look. He says Takanas Chazal. So which presumably means that he changed his mind, which he's allowed to do. I don't know which one came first, which one came second. I don't know.
Maybe he just left it out.
Yeah, so that's what you could have said. If one of them just wasn't clear, except here he was clear. Once you notice that line, he says, it's not just he never mentioned Takanas Chazal. Yeah, if he never mentioned here, he mentioned it there, so okay, he didn't mention it. Sal started to come forward. He actually explained. He said, no, I think that you're unbelievable, literally. You're not credible. Incredible. No, but you lose credibility. If you show up after the deadline, all of a sudden, when you know that now you're in his soft spot because he lost the shtar, and then you show up, you're no longer credible. So it doesn't sound like you need a Takanas Chazal. So look, it could be that he changed his mind in one direction or another. You got to ask a historian, when did the Rashba write the Chiddush on Bava Basra, and when did you have to look in that Tshuva, Caleb Bez, and see when he wrote it. But that...
That's our introduction.
Right. I'll leave you with one final nakuda. I'll leave you with one final nakuda in the sugya. And then we'll head to the Beis Marash, and I'm glad to take as many questions as you have. One final nakuda is we started the sugya with the Ritva. We started the year with the Ritva. We started this sugya with the Ritva. The first Rishon we read on Mizdarnish Bishtare was the Ritva. The Ritva had opened it up very beautifully, laid out the kashas, and he had got us started on stage one. And that took us back to Ramban, and then we saw the Ktsos, and then we went from there in Yonah. Sorry, we saw Ben Yonah, and then the Ktsos helped us to piece together Ben Yonah. I think I told you, when we start the Ritva, that we'll start the Ritva, and the Ritva. We end with the Ritva, a paragraph after the first Ritva of the year. When he was getting started with Cheskel Avatim, so he made the point, and you have it in the packet here. He made the point you remember the opening Ritva, he was machal between Cheskas Ryan, Cheskas Kenyan, remember that? We were just getting our feet wet. Later in that shtickle, he says, V'chol shetzarech levar chazaka ubirosa. Unless your taka did work out the chazaka. You have a chazaka, you have your fel cheskas gimel shan. Now what? So now what? So he says, you win. That's what the Mishnah says. What's the machlokas harishonim? You win, but what do you have to do? So he said, the Ritva says there, a Rama we just read. Yesh omer shesarach liyishova adayin heses shukidvar. Some say you have stuff to eshrei shvuas heses. Chinkas a Rambam. But yeish omrim, no. Well, you saw that Rambam, right? At that point, we didn't make much of it. Right? He says, if you're the muchzi, same parakhas, you're the muchzi gamataltlim, and you fend off an attack by the marakama, you have to submit your rabbani gavash for shmuz hasas. And he said here too, you're the machazik on karka, and the marakama The Marakama claims it's his, but you fought back with the Chesed Gimel Shanim. Rambam said, oh, and you got to swear Shmuel's Heses. So there, what was that all about? The Rambam didn't make a big deal of it. The Ritva, watch what he does. Yei Shomri, he says, Yei Shomri, you don't have to swear Shmuel's Heses. But he doesn't just say that. He quotes the Ra'ah. He quotes his Rebbe, Mori HaRa'ah, said that you don't have to swear a Shmuel's Heses. But notice how he says it. Yesh omrim de chazaka b'makam edim o shtar omedas. The enol of shvua klal. Afilu hatoveya bari. Says, but others, that's what chay kacha yinir lemori hara. Not rachmano parke, neru. That's an Aramaic equivalent of shlita. Says, my Rebbe the Ra'ah, the Ritva was a Talmud of both the Ra'ah and the Rajwa. My Rebbe the Ra'ah said, disagree with the Rambam. You don't have to swear shvua's heses. Why? Why be? Aren't you a kol for a kol? He says it's his, and you say it's yours. So shouldn't you have to swear? So Ra'ah said no. Why? Because you're not just winning. Because you're winning based on a raya. Because Cheses Gimel Shanim is like a raya. It's like Edim. It's like a star. And therefore, you bring a star. You bring Edim. You're not the Shuras Heses. You're Shuras Heses when you're a simple kol for a kol. He says you owe him money. You say no. Hamotze mecharel varaya. You win. Midrabban, you got to swear Shmuel's Heses. If it's not just you win based on your say so, but you had Edim, you don't need to swear Shmuel's Heses. You have Edim, it's even better. So what's the Ritva saying? My Rebbe the Ra'ah held that you don't need to swear Shmuel's Heses because Chazakah, Cheses Gimel Shanim, is like Edim or a star. What does the Rambam think? In other words, it's not like Edim or Shtar. Exactly. In other words, it would seem that the Ritva point out to us that the Rambam is saying, L'chora, you're a Muchzak after 3 years. The Rambam maybe says after 3 years, but you're a Muchzak. And that's why there's a Shavuos Heses. The Ramban's approach, that it's a raya, at least that one nakuda, that to see Chesed Abatim as a raya. Now, many, the Rajva also sees it as a raya. He's on the other side. There's sort of like a separate dimension here. But to see it as a raya as opposed to as a muchzak, that's the Rabban's Talmud, the Ra'ah, saw it that way as well. As a matter of fact, it's fascinating that the Ramban and the Rajba and Ra'ah were the two most famous Talmidei the Ramban. So the Rajba disagreed with his Rebbe the Ramban in terms of the overall structure of the sugya. To put it differently, the Rajba disagreed with his Rebbe in terms of what is the raya that Alachar Gimel Shanim, it probably belongs to the Lokeach. But he agreed with his Rebbe that it is a raya. Just a question of which raya it is, right? One issue here is the ultimate driver the shtika of the Marakama, or the real driver the fact that you don't need to have the shtar, right? But what's the role of Mizdarnish Bishtari? But the other question is, what's the nature of the din? Is it that you're a muchzak? He became a muchzak? Is it that there is a raya? Is it a takanas chazal? Do we no longer allow you to make tainas? So the Rajba actually is aligned with the Ramban and apparently the Ra'ah, according by the Ritva's telling, that it's a raya. The Cheskel Abatim is somehow a raya. What the logic, what is the raya? Is the raya, in fact, the Marakamu is shosig, so he has nothing to say? Or the suspiciousness that you waited until after, when you knew the guy was down and out, that's when you spoke up? That's the Rajba's take. Like the Ramban, but different. It's a focus on Mizdarnish Bishtari, but still a psychological riot from the way the Marakam is handling himself. That seems to be the position of the Ramban and the Rajba and the Ra'ah, who says, we don't know what else he says, but we do know that the Ra'ah said that there's no need for Shmuel's Heses, because Chazaka is like Eden. Chazaka is like a star. In other words, in our language, Chazaka is a raya, not merely that you're the Muchzak. Whereas the Rambam, the Ritva says, and that and the Ritva himself is aligned with that as well, as we saw on Daf Chavtez. I said, no, you're the Mochzak. You win because you're the Mochzak, which is Gevaldik. But you're merely a Kofar HaKol. It's not that you have active proof in your behalf, you're a Kofar HaKol, and therefore, in Rabban, you got to swear, Eshuas Hesses. And with that, we have begun Chesed Zavata. Now, the truth is we've not done much more than begin Chesed Zavata. The truth is that we, Baruch Hashem, learned at this point a good 2.5 plot, at least, of Chesed Zavata, between Lama Dard, Lama Hey, and Chav Ches, Chav Tes. So all joking aside, we've learned a lot of the core yisugyas, the core yisodos, of Ches Zavadim.